Okay, go ahead, pick up Numbers chapter number 21. We'll let you do that. And Brother Shemesh, how are you? Thank you for asking. I'm doing fine. And the work is going okay. So if you have remembered at any time to pray for us, God is hearing your prayers. So thank you for that. We need your prayers. We need you praying. And we are seeing things happen. We sent out our last prayer letter. I'm always late with prayer letters. I am not the example to follow. So if you teach a class on missions and you want an example of what not to do, you can use my name. It's okay. All right? But that letter finally got out, and we mentioned some things for prayer in there. One of them was about a man that we had had some contact with, but he was not yet saved. In fact, he wanted to get saved. This is really unusual. He wanted to get saved. If you don't know Thailand, Thailand is 96% Buddhist, or 96%, and about 3% Muslim. And the Thai people, I'll just say it this way, they don't easily get saved. They God reaches them and they get saved, but they have to go through a certain adjustment. Some of you would understand that. Their religion, Buddhism, is kind of national identity. It's not just religion, it really ties strong. So anyway, this young man, his dad asked him. His dad said, my son has not, I guess the boy was about 20. He said, my son's been living sort of a little bit wild, and we don't know what to do with him. So would you take him? And I said, well, he can come. He said, the only thing I'd ask you, he said, it's really important for us that he goes and becomes a monk, a Buddhist monk. And because that way he's going to earn merit for us to go to heaven. And we really need him to go, because you've won all the other people in the village and they're all Christians, and he's about all we have left. So if you could just not win him, that would be really good. And so I listened, and he was really sincere. And I said, well, I understand your problem. But I said, look, I can't guarantee that. It'll be what God does in his life. That will be his decision. And we'll see what happens. So he said, okay. So anyway, that man came, and he was, just listen, if you get under the word of God and you get around the presence of God, you know the reality of this thing. This is not just another religion. This is the truth. And when you get saved, you know you got saved. When you come to Christ, you don't park it with Jesus a little while and then go looking for something else. When you get here, you know you've arrived. And this light exposes all the other darkness. And so he's just listening to the word of God. And I know he wanted to get saved, but his obviously his family did not want him to do that. And most Thais, they live very much under they respect their family to the point they really do not want to go against them in this kind of matter. So anyway... we put his name out in the prayer letter. His name was Yah, and we had been praying, and about it was just 2 days ago, he just thought, I can't stand it anymore. I just want to get saved. So he rang his father, and he said, he's thinking, I'll try again. So he rang his father and said, Dad, I really want to get saved, and I want to be able to go to heaven. And curiously, this time, after people had been praying, and his dad said, well, you sure you want to do this? Can you do this? There's an unsaved Buddhist man trying to understand what's going on. He said, can you do this? And he said, I really want to. And his father finally said, he said, you're old enough to make that decision yourself. So that was the go-ahead. So immediately, I mean, that boy, he was just, there's some people who don't want to get saved. I'm telling you, he was just so glad to know I can do this. And he was just so excited. I mean, he ran and grabbed somebody, pray with me, and just wanted to get saved. And he's been so happy. It's just been a couple of days. He's been sending me messages. First message I got, he's in Thai, but he sent me a little message, a voice message in Thai. And he said, Pastor, I'm praying for you because I'm saved now. And he was just so happy. And he said, a big smiley grin. And so when you pray, it does make a difference. Things do happen. And people, certainly here, you need to be praying about your local church. You have a lot happening right here. And don't forget to bathe all of the ministries in prayer. Don't forget to just keep calling pastor's name and the church staff. And just don't forget, we really need God's working. And also don't forget your missionaries. All right, now, if you have your Bibles open to Numbers chapter 21, I know it's Sunday night. This message, I'm going to give you a little intro to this message. This message is a little bit abstract, okay? Now, I would not preach this message in Thailand because they would have great trouble understanding this because it's a little bit abstract. In other words, you're going to have to think. Now, I know it's a Baptist church, but you're going to have to think a little bit, all right? So you say, you ought not to ask us to do that. I understand where we are, but just try, okay? And then you can go back to being normal you, all right? So just tonight, you try to think a little bit and try to understand something here. It's gonna sound a little abstract, but if you get this, I guarantee you, if you get this, you'll hold on to a truth that'll go with you your whole life. Okay, I'm going to show you something here. It is a Bible truth. And there are just some things that God has shown us that they're there. And it's not so much that they're hidden, but it just requires a little bit of meditating and a little bit of just understanding what's there. All right? Now, so that's the first part. In a moment, I'm going to tell you some things. And if you closed your eyes, you're going to think you're listening to National Geographic Channel, all right? I'm going to tell you some things about how God has made the world. And I need to tell you that so you understand the text, all right? So that's where we're going to go with this. I want you to think about this. We believe, whether we believe it or not, it's true, but we believe God made the world, all right? Now, when God made the world, that was not a random process where, you know, it was just kind of whatever. There is purpose and meaning and design in all of this world. Now, we understand this. Tonight, we live in a post-fall world, which simply means this. We live in the world. Sin has already come, and that changed a lot of things. You and I are not Adam and Eve standing in the garden seeing it exactly how it was intended to be seen. That's not us. We arrived after the damage was done. And the world it's changed. It's not exactly the way it was. And by the way, it's not ever going back to pre-fall in our times. You understand that? Our job is not to try to sort of shape the world and get us back to Eden. There's no going back to Eden. Okay, we're going to be dealing with sinful people in a sinful world, in a cursed earth, and all that means, that is going to be our present reality. And we minister in that environment. So we're not going to achieve the process of perfecting humanity. It's not going to happen. So what we want to do, we take imperfect humanity, we lead them to Jesus, he does the saving, but all of us, Jesus is working with people who are still imperfect. I don't think any of us would say, I'm free from all sin. When I got saved, I never sinned again. God knew what he was getting when he saved you. And aren't you glad that when God forgave your sin, he didn't just forgive your past sin. He didn't just say, okay, you want to get saved today. All the sin you've done before this, I forgive you, but you better not do it again or you're done. And I'm glad that God didn't do that. I'm glad God looked at our whole life and God said, I'm going to make provision for your whole life, all your sin. I've covered the whole lot. I see your end as clear as I saw your beginning. I've got the whole number of your days, the measure of your life. It's all under the blood and you're covered. And that's a wonderful, wonderful truth. By the way, the music tonight was just tremendous. Boy, that choir item, but it was just good to be here just for that, and the song and praise the Lord for that. Great truths in the singing. All right, so we understand the world we live in, but we are saying this: God designed this world. Full stop. God designed this world, and God has put some things. Now, was it not true that in Proverbs Solomon alludes to many things in the world? He says, "Now, folks, and this is my paraphrase, but look at the ants. You can learn some things from them. Look at the grasshopper. You can learn some things from them. And he began to identify some of the truths or the principles that you could learn from the world that God made. Are we okay? Are we still thinking? All right. So we're going to look at this. Now, let's read the text, and then let's do the National Geographic part, and then let's get to the message. All right. So we're in Numbers. We're in chapter 21. We're going to read a passage that if you've read Numbers, you have likely read and moved on and said, I'm not quite sure what that's about. But anyway, good that I did my Bible reading today. All right. But we want to get tonight to understand what is this about. So we're in Numbers chapter 21. We want to read from verse number 16. All right. Now, the context is it's referring to the journey the people of God made under Moses' leadership and an event that took place in the journey. And you ought to already have in your mind an understanding of the kind of environment that they were being taken around in. Words like wilderness ought to conjure up something. You ought to understand where they were. All right, and from thence they went to Beer. That is the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes digged the well, the nobles of the people digged it, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, and from the wilderness they went to Mattanah. That's it. You got it? That's our truth for tonight. All right. Now that passage we just read is as much the word of God as John 3:16. All right. God has put that there to teach us something. That's not an accidental insert. That's not just to fill up between the main points. Okay, there is truth in all the word of God. It's also true that we don't always get it in the first time round, and that's everybody. God progressively shows it to us, though it is there. All right, now, we're going to talk tonight about well digging. You got it? Well, you know what a well is, right? We're going to talk tonight about well digging. And what you'll find as you read the word of God, that the matter of digging wells and well digging and things happening at wells is something that God was very much in. I mean, things happened at wells. People built altars at wells. God spoke to people at wells. The patriarchs dug wells and God recorded it. So there's something to this. It's significant. And we're going to talk about well digging. Now, before we do that, we have to understand about water, right? Now try to get a picture in your mind here. Because well digging is about getting to the water. That's why you dig a well, all right? Now, out of every known form of life on the earth, from the largest through to the smallest, they say even microbes, they rely on water. You've got to have water to have life. It's essential. Now, out of all the water in all the world, now, the reason we're saying this, God designed this world. Are we okay? God has done some things here deliberately. It's not accidental. It's not just the place we find ourselves in. We're living in a place that God has designed and shaped and purposed. So I want you to think about this. Out of all the water on all the earth, and there's a lot of water on the earth, out of all the water on all the earth, only 2.5% of that water is fresh water. 2.5% can you actually consume. Every known form of life needs water to exist. If you don't have water, you have nothing. It doesn't matter what else you have. If you don't have water, you don't have anything. Now, of that 2.5% of all the water that is fresh water, now we're down to 2.5%. Listen to this statistic. 98.8% of that water is in ice or under the ground. So of all the water in the world, only 2.5% is actually water that is fresh water that we can do something with. Out of that 2.5%, nearly 99% of it is in ice or underground. In fact, they say this, less than 0.3% of all fresh water is in rivers and lakes. Less than 0.3% of all fresh water is in rivers and lakes. So God has designed the world that way. Water is God's blessing. Okay, are you okay? You have to journey with me here. Water is God's blessing. In fact, when God withholds water, it's always a judgment. We have that happen to us in Australia periodically. Did you know that the driest continent on the earth is not Africa? It's Australia. And we have major water problems in Australia. So water is God's blessing. Now, in type, you okay with that phrase? In type, water represents the blessing. In this day and age, you're an agricultural society. In any society, if you don't have water, you have nothing. You've got to have water. It's essential. You can't do anything without it. Now, the water is a blessing, but the water is a type as well. It represents a blessing. When you dig a well, listen carefully, when you dig a well, you give people access to the water. So the well digging is the process of getting to the blessing. Are we okay? The water is from God. We don't make water. We can't make water. We can extract it from some things, but we can't make it. Only God can give us that. And that's the blessing. You cannot generate a blessing, but you can receive a blessing. The blessing has to come from God. God has to do it. Do you realize that everything that is done of a lasting nature, everything eternal, everything everlasting, everything that is truly of God has to be done by God? But God says to you, I will let you labor with me, but I have to do it. You have no power to generate the blessing. You can't make the water. What you can do, you can find the water that God has already put there. Are you listening? You can't make it. You didn't put it there. You don't have power to just generate it from nothing. But you can find it if God has put it there already. Now in this, there is a life principle. Number one statement is this. God will lead us to the place where the water is. In our text we read tonight, by God's direction, God led the people to a place where they were to be provided with water from God. So God led them to a place and God said, the water is here. That's what that text is about. They gathered the people together. God said, gather the people together and I'll give them water. That text is about how God led them in a wilderness to the place where the water was. So God will lead you to where the water is. God will lead you to where the place of blessing is. All right, now God knows where it is, but you don't. So you're reliant on God to guide you to where the blessing is. He'll take you there. Now, for these people, by a cloud, by a pillar of fire, you'll see in a moment by a leader, through the events of life, God leads you to the place where the blessing is. And if you listen to God, God will say to you, you see right there? There is water. That's where the blessing is. Now, in 1987, and I had to confirm this date with my wife in the car tonight, in the car park, in 1987... I was a young, handsome man. I've just got older, but I was out on the street handing out gospel tracts with some people from our church, And as I was handing out the gospel tracts in Brisbane City in 1987, God said to me, look over there. And I looked over there, and diagonally across the intersection was another person, a girl. And I'm a boy, it was a girl. And she, you know where this is going, right? And she was handing out gospel tracts. And God said to me, the water's over there. All right? That's where you dig the well. The water's over there. Now I looked over there, and I wasn't sure about that. I said, the water's over there. And God said to me, that's the place of blessing. That the blessing is there. So I had not spoken to the girl who was diagonally across the road handing out tracts. And like Mary, I pondered all these things in my heart and began to think about that. And through process of time, I got to know the location where the well was a little more. And through confirmation of leadership in the local church, I married my wife and she became my wife. And guess what I found? I found out that what God said was true, that was the place of blessing. See? And when I look back over our life, I say, everything God said was true. The blessing was there. He saw it. I didn't see it, but he saw it. He led me to the place where the blessing was. He already knew where he'd put the water. But I didn't know that. I can't see like God sees. And so what God will do is that he will lead you to the place where the blessing is. You can't generate the blessing. Now, you can be a blessing to somebody else if God uses you that way in their life. But you can't generate your own blessings. And so God will lead you by his leading to the place where the blessing is. And you need to understand that God does just that. And it is just that detailed. God's going to lead you to the local church, and you go in and God says, the water's there. And you, this is the place of blessing. God said, this is the place of blessing. And God will get you there. You see what I'm saying? That's what he does. He said in verse number 16, gather the people together and I will give them water. Get together, come to me and I'll give you the water. So number one, God leads you to the place where the blessing is. Number two, when you get there, you don't see any water. Are you listening? He said, gather the people together and I will give them water. And God says to you, God says, the water is there. And you go and you get to the place where God said the water is. And do you know what you see? You see dirt. You don't see water. That's how well digging works. Now, God said the water's there, but you can't see the water. And so you get there, and all you see is dirt, and you may say, God, is this the right place? You said this is where the blessing was. You told me the blessing was here. You said there was water here. Lord, I don't see any water. All I see is dirt. Now, do you know what the Bible word for dirt is? The Bible doesn't use the word dirt. The Bible uses this word, earth, earth. And so God will lead you to the place where the water is, but you don't see that right away. But God knows where it is. And God knows what he wants you to have, but you don't see that. And you may wonder, you may say, is this the right place? Did I get this wrong? Did I make a mistake? You may be a little disappointed. You may even get discouraged. And you'll say, you know, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. But God is saying, it's there. You say, where? I just don't see it. But it is there. I remember our church, our ministry is located in Nakhon Sawan, which is about 3 hours north of Bangkok. And a curious thing happened. Even before I went to Thailand, even before I knew I was going to Thailand, And I don't know how this happened. I did not take time to record the details because I did not think it would ever be significant. But I can remember being at home on my desk. I had an office at home, at our house in Australia, as well as our church office. But I remember being at home having a map of Thailand opened up. And this city, Nakhon Sawan, just sort of, now I'm not going to say the page was burning up or it was on electric lights or anything, but it just sort of stood out. I mean, it was the same size print as all the other cities in Thailand, but it just sort of stood out. And I didn't know anything about it. And I can just remember tapping Nakhon Sawan into, I guess it was Google, and getting a little bit of information about the rice growing region, and it was a, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that was kind of it. But then I'd walk past that map again. I'd just look up, and just something about that Nakhon Sawan just sort of kept being there. Well, I didn't think too much of it, and I didn't know I was going to Thailand. Through a process, someone asked me about it today. They said, "Brother Shemesh, how did you get led to Thailand?" And the only answer I had for that was slowly. There was a series of events that took place, which I won't get into tonight, for God to do that. And so, eventually we went to Thailand. And I got to tell you, I didn't really think any more about Nakhon Sawan. We went there. There was a church in Bangkok that needed our help. And so we were there. It turned out for about 2 years working in Bangkok. And while we were there, I got to lead a man to Christ who's now pastoring our church in Nakhon Sawan. Joe, that's not his real name, but that's his easy name. All right, so Joe and his wife and two children. He's a good man and just, you know, I just feel so blessed. He just, you know, to me, he's just like my Elisha, but he's just, God's hand is on him in a very unusual way. And so, we led Joe to the Lord. At that time, he was single, just on his own, young man, led him to the Lord. We're working in Bangkok. And this thing, Nakhon Sawan, starts to revisit my mind. And so I asked someone, "Where is Nakhon Sawan?" And they say, "Well, it's about 3 hours north of Bangkok." And I said, "Okay." And then I forgot about Nakhon Sawan. And then it would just sort of occasionally come up. Now, it didn't come up much. I heard about many other cities in Thailand many more times than you'd ever hear about Nakhon Sawan. It's kind of one of those places that just is not prominent at all. And one day I was in a taxi and I'm practicing my Thai, you know, hello in Thai, you know, how are you? And where do you come from? And in Thai, if I said it in Thai, it would sound worse than that. And he said Nakhon Sawan. And I thought, is that place again? Nakhon Sawan. And it was kind of like it was just sort of in my, there. And finally, this just sort of kept happening. And finally, I said, "Joe, I said I want to go and see Nakhon Sawan." And he said, "Where is it?" And I said, "You're the Thai. You have to know. I don't know where it is. You're supposed to. You live here." And he said, "I don't know where it is." And I said, "Well, it's on the map there." And I said, "You know, we need to go see it." And so I said, I didn't have a car. I said, "Let's hire a car and let's go see Nakhon Sawan." And he said, "Why are we going to see Nakhon Sawan?" I said, "I don't know, but I just it's floating around my head, and I just want to sort of, you know, bed it down or get it out or whatever." And so we took the journey. We drove to Nakhon Sawan. It's about a 3-hour drive. We arrived there in the night. So it's dark. There's not a lot of street lighting. You can't see much. We found a hotel of a kind. I said to Joe, I said, let's just sleep tonight. In the morning, we'll get up. We'll have a little look around. We'll drive back to Bangkok. And he said, "Okay, why are we here again?" I said, "I don't know. Just go to bed, and in the morning we'll get up and have a look, and we'll leave." And he said, "Okay." So I went to sleep, and I woke up in the morning, and something happened to me that had never happened to me in my life. I promise you, it's happened since, but it had not happened to that time. I woke up in the morning, and my eye was fused shut. I mean, it wouldn't open. It was this eye, and it was like shut. And the other one was kind of half open, but this one was shut. And I'm trying to open my eye, and it won't open. And this has never happened to me before. And so I'm thinking this is strange. So I did what you immediately do. I started rubbing my eye, you know, pushing my eye, and trying to, because you're trying to, and And all that did was make everything worse. So within about 15 minutes of rubbing my eye like that, my eye was red and inflamed. Water was just pouring out of my eye down my face. This one I could hardly open. I couldn't see. And so I had to tear up a shirt and make a little sort of pirate's patch for my eye and stuck that over my eye. And the other one, and I'm saying, Joe, I got to get to a doctor. Joe, I got to get to a hospital. I got to get this looked at. And he's saying, I don't know anything around here. I don't know where to go. I don't even know where we are. And I said, well, I got to get back. And he couldn't drive. So I had to drive. All I could think of, I got to get back. So we got back in the car. And we started the drive. And this eye is about a quarter open. And this one is few shut. Which made me drive like a real Thai. And so I got all the way back to Bangkok and went to the hospital and had my eye treated. And they said, I don't know what caused this. And they blasted water into my eye. And after a while, it was done and it was done. And that was it. That was my trip to Nakhon Sawan. Say, what did you see? I didn't see anything. My eyes were fused shut. And this one just opened a little bit. And so I couldn't see anything. And I put that out of my head and I thought, you know, I don't want to think about that place again, and that's done, and whatever that was, I don't know what it was. There's probably something in there somewhere, but I don't know, and I don't care. I just want to be able to see. And so I stayed in Bangkok. Well, you know what happened? It kept coming back. Nakhon Sawan. Nakhon Sawan. So finally, I go up there. We have a little look around. I talk with Joe. I talk with my wife. And everybody has a consensus, this is God. Now, I know this, I told you not to use me as the missionary example, all right? Other people do surveys and all that kind of thing, but we just concluded, this is God. God has said, that's the place. So we say, let's pack up, we move, we're going to go to Nakhon Sawan. So we start heading to Nakhon Sawan. We're driving up there. About 10 kilometers, about 7 miles out of town, there's a big blue sign that goes across the road, the highway, and it says in the big blue sign, "Welcome to Nakhon Sawan." Isn't that lovely? Welcome to Nakhon Sawan. And then somebody told me, they said, "Pastor, do you know what Nakhon Sawan means?" And I said, I don't know what it means. They said, "Well, Nakhon means city." And Sawan means heaven. The word means city of heaven. And I'm thinking, God has called me the city of heaven. I'm going to start a ministry in the city of heaven. And now this is getting a little romantic, you see. And I'm thinking, isn't that lovely? Who would have thought? The city of heaven. And so we get to Nakhon Sawan. The blue sign is across the highway. Welcome to Nakhon Sawan. I'm not a guy who normally jumps in the photos, but I said, stop the car. I need to get a photo. And so I'm across the highway. You'll never see this picture, by the way. I'm pointing up to the sign. I'm doing something I've never done in my life. I'm smiling. And I'm pointing up to the welcome to Nakhon Sawan sign. And they snap a picture. And we get in the car, and now we're just 10 kilometers from the place that God has led us to. We're not doubting God's leading. We have consensus. We all feel it's the Spirit of God. And so we get to, it wasn't amen when we got there, but we get to Nakhon Sawan, and we arrive there, and I'm standing there, I'm looking at the city, and I'm looking at the place, and it's, it's awful. I mean, it's just awful. I'm saying, God, you led me to this place. You told me to come here. And I got here expecting a blessing, and there's nothing. I mean, there's something, but it's nothing. There's nothing in this place that would make you want to be there. Now we joke. They called it the city of heaven, but we call it the city of hell. We really do. Now, we found out after we got there, it's the hottest place in Thailand. We live in our own little piece of hell there in the 3 hours north of Bangkok. And we got there, and it was underwhelming. And we're thinking, God, did we get this wrong? Did we get this wrong? And when we got there, you know what you see? Listen to me. God says to you, he says, I'll take you to where the blessing is. Because I know. I know where all the water is. I made the world. I put it there. You can't make it, but I know where it is. And I'll lead you to the place where it is. And so you get there, and you're saying, I'm in the place where God said the blessing was, and all you see is dirt. And God says, this is it. So do you know what you do? You start digging a well. Now, do you know what well digging is? Well digging is simply the process of removing the earth and moving the earth out of the way and moving the earth out of the way and moving the earth out of the way. And if you move enough earth in the spot where God said, you hit the water. And that's the blessing. And that's what this thing of well digging is. Is that God leads people to places where the blessing is. You get there and you just see dirt. You might be looking at your marriage tonight and just seeing earth. You might be looking at the place where God has led you and you say, I can't see the water. That's because you have to dig the well. You have to start moving the earth. You follow the Lord. In verse 18 it said, by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves, they dug that well. And they moved it away. Now, the digging doesn't make the water. The digging just finds the water that God says is already there. You say, Brother Shemesh, what have you been doing in Nakhon Sawan? We've been moving the earth and finding the water. And that's what we've been doing. We've been in the place where God said the blessing was. And listen, when I look by sight, I see the earth. But by faith, I know the water's there. And so I've just got to keep moving the earth and moving the earth and moving the earth. God said the water's there. I believe him. He put it there. He knows where it is. I said this to someone this week. I just happen to believe my pastor's in town from Australia. I said, Pastor, I just believe that there are a whole lot of people in Nakhon Sawan who don't yet know it, but they're the Lord's. And they're going to get saved. And do you realize this? And I can't explain this to you. And if you want it explained, you have to ask Pastor. He might be able to do a better job than this than me. I can't explain it. I know this. I know that God says God is not willing that any should perish. I know that God wants everybody saved. I know that whosoever will believe on the name of the Lord, you can be saved. But I also know this. Jesus said none of them will be lost. And when you get to the end of all this, I can't explain it, but God will look around at the close of the age and he'll say, they're all here. They're all here. And God has people in that place where I am, but I don't know about that. So you say, what do? I do what the Bible told me to do. I preach the gospel. I get out there. I tell them whosoever will believe. And God will do the work. And if we keep moving enough earth, you'll find the water. And that's what you have to do. You can't get hung up on the earth. You can't lose heart. You can't get discouraged and say, oh, I don't see it. I don't see it. Maybe it's the wrong spot. You know, maybe this person I married, maybe they're not the right one. Listen, they're the right one. All right? You just need to move the earth. There might be a whole lot of earth in you that needs to be moved out before we strike water. All right? You just need to move the earth. You just need to stay in the place where God has told you to be and dig the well. Because that's where the blessing is. Do you realize this? Do you realize that almost every precious thing, almost everything that we value is hid under the earth? Have you thought about that? How many people have stubbed their toe on a diamond lately in the car park? I mean, you have to dig for them. God put them there, but you've got to dig for them. Just last week, a fella in Australia dug up a lump of gold, and it was just a 6 pound or something like that. He just dug it up from the dirt. Just an area, just went up, just dug it up, big piece of gold, worth a fortune. You know, God knew where that was. There it was, lying under the earth. And just about everything we value, gold and silver and diamonds, all the things that you adorn yourself with and you pay a fortune for, they're all things that have been under the earth that have required somebody to move the earth to find them. Can you see a principle here in the designer's plan? Can you see God is showing us something here? It's the divine plan of God that you dig the well. You don't abandon the place because you haven't yet hit the water. You need to keep going. Now, who digs the well? We're going to finish. Verse number 18, the Bible said, now I'm sniffling already. Pastor told me the church was riddled with disease, and I do believe he has spoken the truth. Brother Fisher's going to blame you when I cannot preach tomorrow. All right? I should have put something on this microphone after Pastor had used it. Verse number 18. The Bible says, the princes dig the well. The nobles of the people dig it. Who digs the well? The leaders. Did you see that? Who digs the well? Well, let's get the ordinary people, let's get the common folk to go and dig the well. No, the leaders dig the well. The princes dig the well. The nobles dig the well. No, nobles don't do much else, but they ought to dig wells. You see, leadership. It's not the lowly, but it's the leaders. The leader follows God to the place where God said the blessing is. And then the leader says, we need to move the dirt and find the water, because the leader wants to give the people the place where they can be blessed. Do you know what this is? Do you know what you're sitting in tonight? I know it's a local church, but you don't know what else it is? It's a well. Somebody dug a well here. Somebody dug a well. Somebody came to this place, and somebody followed God's leading and came to a place where there was just earth, and somebody started clearing the earth, and I can look around and say, somebody dug a well here. You know what you're doing tonight? You're drinking of the well that somebody else dug. You're getting a blessing. Somebody dug this well. And that's what you're supposed to do. You give the people a place. Remember, God speaks to people at wells. You remember, people come to altars where wells are located. See, there's a pattern here. And so the leader ought to go and dig the well. And then I want you to see something else. When you locate that place, when you get to the place where God said, when you start to clear the earth and you start to hit the water, the well lasts longer than the generation that digs it. So what does that mean? John 4, verse number 12. Remember the woman at the well? Remember Jesus was speaking to somebody at a well? You know John 4. John 4, the woman at the well. She says this. Listen to the text, verse number 12, chapter 4. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? Who gave you the well? Jacob. Jacob dug that well for you. Generations after, she was at a well, hearing from God that somebody else had dug. Generations later. She said, Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself. So Jacob dug a well, Jacob drank of it, Jacob got the blessing, but generations after Jacob had gone, people were still drinking of that well, getting the blessing. And that's what will happen if you'll follow God's direction. When God says it's there, you ought to say, yes, Lord. And you say, Brother Shemesh, I can't see it. We never see it. You don't just arrive. When you're digging a well, you always see dirt. That's what you see. You say, but I tried to move the earth and I haven't hit the water. You just have some more earth to move. It's there. God has put it there. Follow the Lord. Do something lasting. Oh, Jacob dug this. Jacob, that was generations ago. And people are still drinking of it. Listen, invest your life in digging a well. Why? It's good for you. You'll drink of it. You'll get a blessing. But not only that, after you're gone, those who come after you will be drinking of that place where you cleared the earth. Let's bow for a word of prayer.